Well, this little short while ago, the weekend of November 22nd and 23rd, the World Can't Wait held a very important national conference in Chicago. And over 2 days, big questions were dug into: how to sum up the political fight to drive out the Bush regime, the impact of the Obama candidacy and election, independent mass political protests' importance and relevance as the Bush years come to an end, and the urgent need to create a broad climate of resistance and defiance and more. Mighty big agenda, and here to talk with us about how those discussions went and what came out of them is Deborah Sweet, the national coordinator of The World Can't Wait. Deborah, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Michael. Great show so far.
Oh, good. So you were listening. You're around the corner, right? Oh, no, they have those computer things online. Okay, I'm getting silly now. So listen, tell us what actually happened during this week. It sounds like a really packed agenda and an extremely important one, and one that has been clearly both, I think, for people in the organization, but also for the people who have been impacted and knew about the organization, the question of where to from here. What did you guys sum up, one, about, you know, this driving out the Bush regime, and then two, where to from here?
Well, you know, it's been clear for some period of time that the likelihood of forcing Bush and Cheney from office by a massive popular movement independent of the government was unlikely, although the world is much worse for that, I have to say. And it was not for the lack of thousands of people trying to bring that about and make it happen. But we also have been dealing with the reality that, well, let's say millions of people are banking on Obama and think perhaps Obama has driven out the Bush regime and stopped that whole direction pretty fundamentally. So we came together. We had about 80 representatives of the activists from around the country, to, as you said, dig into where are we at now, and principally to look forward around the theme of what is the responsibility of people living in this country to stop the crimes of our government, no matter who the president is. And, I suppose you could say that the people who came to the meeting were very much committed to trying to find a way to go forward. But by acclaim, we decided to continue this organizational effort under the World Can't Wait. And probably we'll get together again after the inaugural. And when we see how things are directly shaping up, perhaps write another call and a basis of unity. But at this point, we have some very immediate plans to go out among the people, as has been our approach, and to create a political situation among the people where, you know, there's many, many people who won't accept what we are being told every day, more so, including yesterday, with the announcement of Obama's appointments around, what they call national security. So we're, in fact, in your town in Los Angeles, we launched the We Are Not Your Soldiers tour. I think a couple of the people that are on it were on your show last week.
And, right, yeah.
Yesterday they went to the Hip Hop Charter School, and today they were at Manual Arts. Tomorrow they're going to Locke High School. They've been out among hundreds of high school students as an Iraq veteran and as a young organizer, talking with kids about what the world is shaping up to be under the next president, and found, you know, not surprisingly, that a lot of people don't know that the ending of the Iraq War is probably at least 2011 under Obama's plan, and that he's increasing not only troops in Afghanistan, but he's increasing the whole size of the U.S. military by 92,000 troops, and all of those troops are going to be found in among high school students in school right now. And of course, there was, I hear, struggle over this. People are thinking, oh, there's going to be a much better future for people in Obama's military than there was in Bush's military. And you'd have to ask, well, what, people say having a black president is very different. Of course, it's stunningly different for a country like this to have a black president. Most of us thought that would not happen in our lifetime. But what is the import of having a black commander-in-chief? So we got into all of these questions in terms of people in World Can't Wait, you know, having the concerns that nobody will listen to us anymore. We weren't able to drive out the Bush regime. What makes anyone think that an extremely popular government, as people think Obama's will be, can be influenced by the popular uprising and the popular protest of the people? And then others of, you know, myself included, argued that actually that's the only way things ever change, and that you've got to have a movement independent of the government, really expressing the interests of the people. And in this case, there's a lot of unfinished business. The Bush regime is in office for another 7 weeks and is up to all sorts of things that they're doing with executive orders. On the one hand, passing these new rules that people are very vaguely worded, but it's designed to protect people who allegedly have fits of conscience when it comes to administering birth control in a pharmacy or carrying out abortions in a hospital setting, even if that's the will of the woman involved. And then we don't know what the international situation is going to be presented to the next administration. And, you know, we're going to be in the midst of this demanding, along with other people, that the war criminals under the high administration officials and the torturers under the Bush administration, you know, be prosecuted and brought to trial for war crimes.
Now, what's the importance of pursuing something like that?
Well, you know, that what kind of a mandate, what kind of an impression are we sending to the rest of the world if everything is plastered over? All of these towering crimes, you know, the first time the U.S. starts torturing officially is not directly addressed. And it's clear that Obama probably will close the interrogation camp at Guantanamo, probably will have to do that because it's so widely hated around the world. But what's going to happen to the detainees? Is there going to be yet another system of denying them due process, knowing what the charges are, and having any potential for these people who we know are mostly innocent of being involved in with either Al-Qaeda or the Taliban, to ever get out? Some of them have been in there for 7 years. If we don't take all this apart and as a people really repudiate this, it will be continued by, you know, future presidents, no matter who they are.
Well, you know, one thing I was going to say is that when you mentioned the thing about the summation around World Can't Wait, too, in terms of what it's done, as well as what, and even though mainly looking forward in terms of what remains to be done, the challenges ahead and the road that people have to, you know, are being argued that people have to go down, there's also the point, I do think it's important that people realize that the world would have been a much worse place, as you said, you know, if World Can't Wait had not done what it did, whether it succeeded in driving out the Bush regime or not. Many things changed, including the awareness of people, including the ability of people to find a way. People who felt isolated and perhaps, you know, just impotent in the face of this massive machinery that would seem to be rolling over the world, you know, found a voice and a way to actually stand up against this. And I think that was very important. And I think, you know, when you talk about the idea, one of the things I was getting at with this thing about just, you know, what the importance of pursuing this thing on Bush and Cheney and the rest of these war criminals is these guys have left. This is what is there is actually a program. It's actually, there's a program, there's a whole thing that's been instituted. And while Obama may, you know, tighten a few screws, loosen a few screws, change some things up, you know, here and there, that fundamentally the war on terror, the so-called war on terror, will continue under his command.
Yeah, I was, this is in my speech. People can look at it on worldcan'twait.org. The point, look, there's no such thing as a good war on terror. And it doesn't matter who the commander-in-chief is. This is illegitimate treatment of whole populations on the basis of an illegitimate occupation. And it's spreading. you know, we don't know what's going to happen with this current world situation, but the threats towards the people of Pakistan, with the U.S. sending in unmanned drones to bomb civilians, we know this has already happened in Syria, Pakistan, the threats against Iran with, you know, our new Secretary of State, Miss Obliterate Iran, coming in 7 weeks. All the better to eat you with, my dear, whether we do it with diplomacy or threats to obliterate them.
And I'm personally filled with a lot of confidence seeing Gates staying on as the Secretary of Defense, the man who the surge works.
Continuity in the war on terror.
There you go.
Or empire, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, this. I just wanted to respond to your, you know, I don't think any good political work is ever wasted, but I was just looking back today at our website, and I found a quote that I had been looking for from Paul Haggis, the director, who said in 2006 that he was probably going to get in trouble for this or be viewed as heretical, but he said, "I'm more of afraid of the wrong Democrat winning the White House than I am the wrong Republican, because then we will feel the need to support our president and his or her difficult decisions on how to do the right thing for Iraq and withdraw with honor. We will divide and conquer ourselves." And, you know, I'm not putting any words in Paul's mouth about what he thinks on the current president at all, but I do know that we need a core of conscience in this country that is united on the basis of stopping the torture, stopping this so-called war on terror, which I think is really a war of terror for empire, and also this fascist remaking that World Can't Wait had identified in its call to drive out the Bush regime, stopping the ICE raids, stopping Proposition 8 and the all the marriage bans and the anti-gay laws that are coming up, stopping this, the threats to birth control and abortion and the, you know, threats to teaching evolution and the whole theocratic agenda that Obama says he is going to expand through the faith-based initiatives. I think this is very concerning to a lot of people. And we've, you know, made a decision that there will be, no matter what anyone else does, the World Can't Wait will be there standing in opposition to the crimes of our government. And, you know, neither rooting ourselves in what we hope will happen in terms of any illusionary hopes being promised us, nor shying away from the reality that very serious horrors are being contemplated by this next government, and people are going to be drawn into them if they don't open up their eyes.
Well, you know, one of the things, and so it's, it seems to me it's really important, you know, that people understand this, because I know that you have to be running up against this, because I'm listening to, you know, you listen to radio talk shows, you listen to people who, you know, got into this whole thing around Obama, and they, you know, a lot of people were drawn into this thing of sort of, you know, both the momentous nature of the thing that you've spoken to before, and at the same time, this sort of, this real hope that perhaps change can be brought about this way, and we can at least get rid of the worst here. But there's a point here where a lot of people have just, I don't know, I mean, I was listening to somebody this morning look at this national security team, and then sit there and talk about, you know, well, really, this is a brilliant move. This is a really incredibly brilliant move, because now nobody can accuse him of operating from the left. You know, it's like,
he's operating from the center, but you know, you've got to look at, in a moment like this, coming through what we've come from, in the midst of this illegitimate occupation of two countries, ruling from the center means ruling for empire.
Right, right.
You know, you are completely accepting that, and in effect, forwarding it, advancing it. We had a guy who refused to go to Iraq, Mathis Chiru, who spoke at our conference, and he, you know, he was telling us that he said, "I've got a lot of progressive friends, and they were very much for Obama, and they were against the war in Iraq. Now, what are they telling me? They're actually mouthing what Obama is saying about Afghanistan. Oh, you know, Mathis, well, we do need to send more troops to Afghanistan. We've got to go after Osama bin Laden. We've got to stop these Islamic terrorists. And these are people, he said, that had really considered themselves progressive and anti-war. And they are taking up the outlook of the person who's president now. So this is something, this is a big argument we have to go out and have among the people. Your interests are not the interests of those in power at this point, no matter who they are. There's something else going on here. And expressing the interests of people independent from that is always the job of a beginning minority. And in a sense, I think we have a big responsibility and a big potential to go out to the millions and millions of people who really do want real change, not just the change that you're allowed to believe in, but really substantial change in direction. And that only comes from the people.
All right, well, let me ask you this, Deborah, because we have a couple more minutes, and I'd like you to give people a sense of what they can look forward to as part of the program of World Can't Wait in the coming months.
Well, We Are Not Your Soldiers tour of high school classes and community college just is hugely important. We've got to go intervene against these recruiters who are out to bring in the next generation of military, kids to be wasted in wherever these wars are going to go to, not only to just refuse to be recruited, but to organize resistance against the recruiters. This is extremely important. We are also organizing protests on the eve of the inauguration in Washington and around the country, demanding an end to the war crimes and the torture. January 11th is the 7th anniversary of Guantanamo. We're going to be doing nationwide programs and protests. And as I said, we have an ear out to the direction that society is going to go around the fascist direction that Bush set in place, even though we don't have a raving Christian fascist in office after January 20th, at this point. We need to really look at what direction all this is going to go out there in society.
All right, Deborah, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. And I'll let people know that they can read your speech and other presentations from the conference at worldcantwait.org.